Welcome to The Workplace, a podcast by Cal Chamber. I'm Erica Frank, Cal Chamber's General Counsel and Executive Vice President, and I'm here today with Jennifer Shaw, a frequent guest on the podcast. But today, Jennifer, in practicing social distancing, is actually calling in by telephone. Hi, Jen.
Hi, Erica. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'd love to tell our listeners that the COVID-19 virus is not going to stop the podcast from happening and continuing to deliver helpful information to our listeners.
That's right. I mean, everything else may be coming to a standstill, and we may all be out of toilet paper and Clorox wipes, but we are here to deal with the key employment law issues that this virus is posing.
So let me put a little bit of some time frame into this, because this is such a rapidly changing issue that, you know, we've had to really be fluid with what we do, how we respond. It is Monday, March 16th, when we are recording this podcast. So hopefully things won't change too dramatically by the time we post it in 2 days. However, lots have happened over the weekend, not only on a national scale, but for Californians as well. And I know that that is definitely creating some concern among business owners, as it should, and employers, as now they're dealing with employees who have children that no longer have a school to go to, or they themselves may not be feeling well, or they might know somebody who was around somebody who is displaying COVID-19 symptoms. What do they do? What are you seeing, Jen?
Well, we are seeing A to Z. I mean, here's the thing that I think is so difficult for the HR professionals and the lawyers we're dealing with, because there is not a one-size-fits-all. I've had a number of clients requesting, quote, business interruption policies, and I've had to tell them, look, this is unprecedented. We're all doing our best. There are certain things that we know the answers to, but there are things we don't. So we've seen people prophylactically close. We've seen folks pay for everyone to be put on prophylactic quarantine. We've seen, we have one company, and I'm not kidding, that gathered up all of their employees and flew them to Montana, where they have a retreat center like 50 miles from anybody. They thought that was the way to go. You know, everybody's just doing the best they can. And I think the most important thing, and it's very hard to do, is to try not to panic. The good news is, most people are healthy. There are folks who are sick, and I feel awful about that, especially our friends who are in nursing homes or assisted living facilities, or their relatives who are worried about them. It's just awful. The good news is our kids seem to be sort of semi-immune. And I think in the end, and maybe this is the Pollyanna part of me, I think this is going to bring a lot of us together and really help us see what we can do as a community, because we've got to do it, right? So I have a neighbor who's really sick. We're cooking for her. We have a child that doesn't have childcare. And, you know, obviously we need to be very careful about bringing other people into the home, but we're actually helping long distance in a way I won't explain, but it's working. So it's just one of these things that we're seeing everything. And I think the value of this podcast is to try to give folks some specifics and some guidance that they can use to just sort of find their centers and figure out where to go from here.
All right, take a deep breath and just pause.
I think so. Yeah, I think so.
So last week on the podcast, I talked about some of the resources and guidelines available that were issued from the Labor Commissioner's Office, the EDD, and the like. And it might be good to discuss some of that again, simply because, let's face it, not every employee is going to be able to work remotely for whatever reason it might be, lack of technical capabilities, the employer isn't equipped, or maybe just the job functions are such that a remote work arrangement isn't possible. What options does the employee have, and how does HR or the employer provide that information to the employee?
Well, one of the things that I thought was really helpful about the podcast last week, Erica, is that you went through, you know, the Division of Labor Standards Enforcement, the EDD, the EEOC, the CDC. I mean, all of these agencies have guidance. And I think one of the most important things to keep in mind is certainly we want to try not to harm our employees, right? There's enough going on. I'm not saying that every business can afford to continue paying employees when they're on quarantine or when their business shuts down. But certainly when we think about what we can do, for example, we have a receptionist in our office. She's not going to be able to answer phones probably from home, although we are looking at whether there's a technical sort of patch that we can do that might help her do that. But there may be some work that we can have her do. I met with our staff this morning and just said, look, let's think about what you can do, what you want to do, what you're comfortable doing. We have lots of moms and dads who have kids, so we're trying to figure out how they can be home. You know, suddenly we all became homeschool teachers, which is something I'm unfortunately not very good at. So we're all sort of struggling through that. So what I want to tell employers is, look, if you can get people to work at home, all of our lawyers are working at home, no big deal. We're answering questions from clients. It's all happening. It's business as usual. We're just doing it from home. Some of our lawyers, as you know, have always worked at home, right? We have a very sort of unique workforce in terms of a law firm where we have folks who work at home and folks who work remotely. I mean, out of state, there's a lot of flexibility, I guess I should say, that we give folks. But our staff are a different issue, right? Most of them are working on revising documents that we provide. So we're having to look at every single position, and this is what our clients are doing, and saying, okay, what can I have this person do at home? To what extent do I need to get some technology? Like, we've been on the phone with our IT people for the last week, getting everybody set up remotely, making sure they have a laptop, making sure that they have what they need in case we were going to come to the place where, you know, the office has to close. Now, the firm won't close, right? So a lot of folks are trying to be clear about, look, even if our physical office isn't open, we're still going to be answering the phones and doing what we need to be doing. And you've probably received all the same emails I have from all the vendors saying, hey, we got you. We got you. We're not closing. This is what we're doing. But I just think from an employment law perspective, we need to calmly and rationally go through step by step. Okay, what are we going to do? What are my options? What can I afford to do? The EDD is letting people apply for unemployment. They're eliminating a waiting period. We have federal legislation that may be coming down later this week. Currently, it's H.R. 6201. And we've, you know, many of the folks listening have probably heard about it. It is something that's going to be revised quite a bit, I think, before we are done. But people are referring to it as Families First. It's called the Families First Coronavirus Response Act. Lots in there about FMLA and all sorts of things. I don't want to get everybody overwhelmed with that now because I don't have any idea how this is going to shake out in terms of the legislation. But we're certainly, for example, the labor commissioner said you can use California paid sick leave if your school is closed and you need to be home with your children. Well, a week ago, I remember reading that and thinking, okay, yeah, whatever, that's not going to happen. Well, my school is closed for 5 weeks. Mm-hmm. So this is happening, right? It's all happening.
I think it's a really important point to emphasize because if you read the sick leave law, hanging out with your kids because they're closed isn't one of the permissible uses under the sick leave law. So it's really important for folks to utilize the FAQs and the information that's being posted not only by the different agencies, but also on Cal Chambers HR Watchdog blog. We actually posted a blog on Friday afternoon as news was trickling in about school closures, letting employers know and their employees as far as the options to take care of their family obligations, but also receive a salary or receive some kind of compensation if they are unable to work. So I think that was a really good point to raise.
That's great. Well, and you know, we're doing the same thing on our blog. We're giving links to resources. Greg is doing a huge write-up of all the issues that can come up. We have part two or part one posted. Part two and three will be coming. So everybody's doing this. I find, and this is just me, but I think some of our listeners probably have the same reaction. I find that I get a little anxious when I see all of these emails coming through and everybody's newsletters and everybody's information. I think it's important for our listeners to say, look, I'm going to look at whatever I'm comfortable looking at, the chamber and maybe a couple of law firms, and really think about how inundated I'm going to allow myself to get.
I think that's a good point.
Because I think people get paralyzed by indecision when sometimes there's too much information. I certainly do, so I'll speak for myself. And I have found myself not looking at a number of law firm blogs because I know it's going to be the same information, and I just can't process all the data.
Yeah, I think that's true for everybody as far as the amount of information that is getting dispersed, whether it's through email, news feed, social media, and it's very challenging to sort through what's reliable and what's not. And I think this is part of why there's no longer toilet paper in the grocery stores. Is sort of this, oh my gosh, because someone's panicking, everyone starts to panic, not to be downplaying the situation that we're in at all. Kind of bringing us back to a couple of new developments and some questions that I know we're receiving on the Labor Law Helpline. Yesterday on Sunday, Governor Newsom issued some directive guidance on how he wanted the California state and its citizens to address the coronavirus situation. And one of the guidelines that he expressed was that individuals 65 years and older to stay in isolation. Now, of course, we have an aging workforce, so that means a lot of our employees are of that age range. I know that a lot of employers have been wondering what to do with this and whether they can send their employees home who are over the age of 65 or are 65. What are your thoughts?
Well, here's the thing. I listened to the governor. I read his comments. He's saying, look, I would like them to self-isolate. What our sources in the governor's office are saying is there's sort of a recognition that many folks 65 years of age and older are retired. So you notice there weren't comments about folks in the workplace. It was they should self-isolate. And the problem is you've got to look at that in conjunction with an age discrimination case. If you tell all your 65 plus people they've got to go home, especially if you don't pay them. But even if you do, you have a potential issue there because the governor didn't order it. Now,
that's
I know
right.
It sounds like we're dancing on the head of a pin, but I think we have to be careful about this, right? I had a client question me this morning and said, well, shouldn't we just send them all home? I feel like this age claim is so remote. Yeah, I get it, but you've got to make an informed decision. Whichever way you decide to go, I just want it to be informed. There really isn't a clear answer to that. You know, he said, if you don't do this voluntarily, I'll, you know, impose martial law if I need to. I mean, that's not exactly what he said, but I think he used the term martial law. It's very difficult to manage that. I think the much better approach is to say, if any of you are feeling vulnerable, go home.
I agree.
Work at home. Go home. This is an unprecedented time. I don't care if you're 21 or 81. Go home. To me, that's a better way to go.
I agree with that as well. And I agree with your assessment as far as a potential discrimination claim. And right now, there's no mandate on employers to follow through with the governor's recommendation. So I think employers need to tread very lightly with regards to that issue. And quite honestly, to your point, Jennifer, it doesn't matter what the age is of the individual. If they are feeling physically ill, if they're struggling mentally, which this is a huge issue.
Yes, it's legitimate.
Take care of yourself and stay home. And I think that's an excellent message.
I think that's right, Erica. And so interesting to me. You know, I run a law firm. I take care of my family. I'm a single mom. I usually feel pretty empowered and pretty confident. But in the middle of the night last night, I woke up and I thought, it is so hard to not have somebody to run these things by.
Mm-hmm.
Should we be stocking up on toilet paper? What do I do about the windows that are being replaced and water's getting in through them? Should I be more bossy with the window company? What should I be doing in the middle of all this COVID-19 stuff? So I think the emotional component is something really important for people to think about.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just do you feel physically sick. It's how is your body and frankly your soul coping with what's going on? Because people are sick. People are passing away. We have fears. We have anxieties. We may have had them before this happened, but they're certainly heightened. So you know, it's really a time for us to take care of ourselves and the people around us as well as we can. And it's tough. I mean, I wish I had answers to every single question that people are asking. We're about to do a webinar next week, and I was sort of thinking, it's too late to do a webinar. We need to do it now. Well, we're hoping to sort of gather up information about the federal law and all of that. But even then, I'm not going to have a ton of black and white answers.
Right.
This is going to be something that is just a fluid process.
And I think that's absolutely 100%. And that's why I think this is a great place to conclude and end with just some helpful reminders to those who are listening to take a deep breath and pause to recognize that everybody is in the same boat. Sometimes misery loves company to the extent that each business is going through these same decision points right now. They're working through their planning. They're working through their contingency. And even their contingency plans need to be altered because who would have ever thought that the Bay Area would be placed on this shelter in place. Shelter in place. So I think it's some really good reminders for everyone to be kind to themselves as well and know that everybody is working through this together because this is something that everybody is having to grapple with together. And hopefully, and I'm an optimist, so I keep keeping my fingers crossed and hoping that this will be over sooner than we think. But until then, this is, to your point, a time for everybody to rise together and to think a little bit outside the box and be compassionate to everyone.
Well, and I just want to take a moment, Erica, to say how much I appreciate the work that the Chamber is doing in this area. We obviously tell our clients, use your labor law digest, make sure that you're accessing the services that are available. But it has been so helpful to know that there's another organization out there that works as hard as you guys do to get the right answer. And by the way, folks, no one told me to say this. This is just something I wanted to say to Erica. And she may even take it out. I don't know. But I just want you to know that. It's really important for the business community to know that there are organizations out there like the Chamber that are really looking out for their interests. I think sometimes they just forget that. And I just wanted to say thank you for all you do.
Oh, well, it's our pleasure. It's what we're here for. And we will continue to use this podcast as a resource to get some information out, as well as our other channels. We are planning to continue to provide those services and resources to our employers as it evolves. And we're doing our best to keep on top of everything as well as quickly as it's happening. So thank you, Jennifer, for always being available and being such a wonderful guest of ours. And we'll continue to keep each other informed as we move through this time.
Thank you so much. Keep up the good work, everyone. Just remember, be calm and peaceful.
And thank you for joining us on The Workplace. In addition to continuing to wash your hands and remaining isolated from others, do enjoy that time that you're spending at home with your family. And please comment, share, and subscribe to Cal Chamber's podcast by visiting calchamber.com.